last week we really focused on the time of communion, at the Lord's table, and we are now post-election time. The ads have stopped. Yes, that's my favorite part. The ads have stopped. And, of course, there's a lot of fallout of people with one way or the other, how the election turned out. And, some people think, it's the end of the world. Others think it's a new beginning and all these types of things. But it's in reality, it's neither of those extremes. It's the world going on, and we have to continue to pray and do these things. And as I was thinking and praying a lot about the church and how, not just this church, but the church at large, but our church here, and talking about how many of us prayed for the nation and continue to pray for the nation, that, the election can come and go, and you might think, oh, now I can back off, I can stop, I don't have to do as much now. No, we have to continue to pray. In fact, we have to look at every opportunity that the Lord gives us. Because you and I should know something. But we forget a lot of times, is that this ain't heaven, but it also ain't hell. it's a time here that we have to do the things that God has called us to do, to work out our salvation, but to bring others the good news of the gospel. And this is a time of decision in this world. So I want us to turn first to if you do have a favorite scripture, raise your hand. Okay. See, a lot of you didn't raise your hand because I'm like that too. I have a lot of different favorite scriptures. You know what I mean? There are some that maybe, speak more than others, but somebody says, what's your favorite scripture, Pastor Joe? And I go, ask me today, ask me tomorrow. It'll be a different one, But there are some that do stick with us. And to me, some of the most sublime, if you will, beautiful scriptures come from Revelation 21. And we're going to just start there, but then we're going to move back into the epistles for a moment. After John has witnessed through this revelation that the Lord provided for him to see, he's seen such amazing things. He's seen the devastation that comes upon the earth. He's seen the glories of heaven. He's seen the return of the Lord. He's seen the millennial reign, the binding up of Satan, the release of Satan, the binding up again and casting into the lake of fire. He saw the great white throne judgment. And now he sees a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And I think John was so amazed by what he saw that he had to hear the words, write it down, John. Write it down, for these words are trustworthy and true. It's really going to happen, John. Of all the amazing things that John had already witnessed, that he has already had seen, he now sees the new heaven and the new earth. And I think it had to blow him away. The scriptures speak of this in other places. We could turn to Isaiah 65 just for a moment with a prophecy of this time. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create a Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. 2 Peter says, chapter 3, he says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new creation and a new earth which in which righteousness dwells. Does that excite you at all? Or do you kind of just go, well, I tell you, I get excited. Church, this is our eternal home. This is what we long for. This is what God has promised. This is not just, you know, the earth kind of with a paint job. This is brand new. The ravages of sin that have plagued us since the beginning, when we brought from our sin, brought sin, you know, our sin brought this death into the world. And all of that, the ravages of that will be gone. It's going to make it all new. I will create a new one. Past and even better than the millennial earth that Jesus will rule and reign here for 1,000 years. Better than that. This new Jerusalem, this new city, of hope, if you will. The Jerusalem of hope, the Jerusalem that the scriptures say comes from above. Place of our citizenship once we have trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our heavenly home. And it's an exciting place. It's not a dull place. It's a place of activity and interest. It is not some just nirvana, blank nirvana, just go into some nothingness. No, this is an exciting, wonderful place where all the people of God will be gathered together in our new glorious bodies with no more struggle against sin, the temptation. No more struggle with getting up with backaches, body odor, 3 more pounds on the scale, the neighbor next door bugging me, the morning news of the violence, and the chaos, and the pain and the sorrow, the former things have passed away. He makes all things new. And that's great, is it not? But it's even better. Because in that, it would be wonderful, like if we were in this great place in a globe and it's all nice and perfect and nothing bad ever happens. But that's nice, but you know what? It's so much better because the tabernacle of God will be with man. What God has designed us for, created us for. What God has longed for, though I can never understand that. Why would God want to be with us? But he does. He does. Sometimes I don't want to be with me. Right? Sometimes you go, can I trade myself in today? You know, God wants to be with me. God wants to be with you. He desires it. He went to everything, if you will, to purchase that for us upon the cross. That the tabernacle of God will dwell with men. He will dwell with us. He will be our God. They will be his people. John sees it as a bride adorned for her husband. In other words, it's the most beautiful sight. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Only God can do it. See, the one who sat on the throne says, behold, I make all things new. He says it. He doesn't say to us, listen, kids, you made a mess of it. Clean up your mess. Make it better than ever. Make it brand new. Because we can't do it. He says, I make all things new. I will do it. I will bring to you the thing that I am making. It's the consummation, if you will, of God's renewal project and his redemption. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes as I read scripture and I meditate on scripture, I think back and see, you know, there's that tendency to say, oh man, what would it be like if Adam never sinned? You know? Oh, it would be so great. We'd be running around naked in the garden, having a great old time. It'd be wonderful. But you know what? The new heaven and new earth is so much better. There was the potential, which happened to fall, to sin. Man in his innocence is not any in better state. He's in a worse state than man in his renewed, redeemed state. It's so much better. When the former things that we know have happened are gone. And he's made all things new. It's interesting in the original language of that phrase there. It's not only just making it new, but it will stay new. Think about that a minute. Whatever you and I buy brand new, the moment we open the package, turn the ignition, right? Do whatever we do, it starts to get old. Right? Ooh, you notice a scratch. Oh, no. I got yelled at this week. Meg bought a brand new spread for our bed, and she said, I made a mark on it. I don't think I did, but maybe I did. But the brand new spread had a mark on it, because you know why? It doesn't stay new. I said, I'll try to clean it. She said, no, it's silk. Don't. I said, okay. I can make it go away. She said, no, you can't. It's now marked. She didn't say it like that. She wasn't that mad. But the thing is, whatever we do, it gets old. It wears out. Not the new heavens and the new earth. No. It will be new. It will stay new. That whole idea is amazing to me, that the law of entropy will be repealed. It won't ever wear out. It won't get out of style. Nothing will wear out. Nothing will decay. No one will age anymore. It's going to be an amazing thing. Blows my mind. Right now you should be thinking, who should I have invited to church today to hear this? And you know, I should have called them. I'll bring them next week. But these words are faithful and true. They seem like a fantasy, do they not? To our human mind, no matter how much we believe it, we say, "How I can't comprehend that." He says that John was like blown, mind blown, short circuit. He says, John, write it down. Write it down. These are faithful and true. Now, it's so true that we can put a musical score to this message. But you know what's interesting? As much as we can't really grasp that, sometimes we have the tendency as God's people to conduct ourselves like we're already at the finish line. Like we know we haven't, but we kind of our minds like we've gotten there already. We've done it. We could relax now. We're there. This was done. We prayed and we saw the result, and now we can just kind of back off a little bit. No. Listen, church, we have to continue to keep walking while we are here. This is not the time ever to take it easy. We can rest in the Lord. We don't have to strain and stress. We don't have to be plagued by anxieties and doubts and fears, but we have to continue to walk and to work in this life while we know what is coming, what our future does hold. And yes, you can meditate on that. That's a wonderful thing. But we have to realize that we still have, before that time comes, a lot of work to do. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. He said, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, say it with me, he is a what? A new creation. Old things, the former things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you get that? You and I are awaiting our eternal home where everything has been made new. But right now, you and I have to realize that if we're in Christ, we have been made new. You may not feel like it, but you are. The tent that you still have is still wearing out and getting old. But you are a new creation if you're in Christ. And that new creation, Paul said, he said that new creation is because the other one has passed away. Just like the new heavens and the new earth are going to pass away. He said, behold, it's going to be make all things new. So we have to realize that the problems arise in us is that when we forget not only that our heavenly home is still in the future, but we forget that we have been transformed now and we begin to act the old way. Going back into the old habits, going into the old way of life, not living out this new creation, not letting the new creation shine and show forth in this world that is passing away. See, this heavenly city can never be made by the achievements of man. Only God, he said, I make all things new. In the same way, none of us could ever change ourselves, but we can be not only reformed. In fact, if you've only reformed yourself, you've only just changed temporarily for a time. We need to be transformed. And that only can happen as we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and he comes to live within us, and he begins that work of transformation in our lives to make us completely new. That's our hope. But we have a lot of work to do. Just quickly with me, turn to Colossians chapter 2. I don't want you to forget. I want you to continue to think about what awaits us in the future. When you begin to get weary in this Christian life and walk, when you begin to get frustrated, when you begin to get anxious, when you say, I can't take another moment, think about what awaits us. Keep that on your mind. But at the same time, I want us to know that while we now long for the heavenly home, our new creation that he's making for us, we have a new creation living within us now that the world needs to see. Paul says in Colossians is very interesting. All the epistles, I think, are very interesting. But Colossians are very interesting. Colossae was a not a super important city. It was a fairly wealthy city. It wasn't a super important city. I don't believe, Robert will tell me if I'm right or wrong, I don't believe it was ever mentioned even in the book of Acts, like as one of the places of his journey. I don't believe he ever mentioned it. But he wrote a letter to them. And to Laodicea, which is, you know, we mentioned in the book of Revelation. But he wrote this letter to them because they were dealing with stuff. And I don't know if you remember this, but you and I deal with stuff every day. And we get bound up with that stuff. And sometimes we begin to think differently than we ought to think and act differently than we ought to as Christians act. And Paul begins to tell them, he prays for them in the previous chapter, chapter 1, beautiful, wonderful prayer. But then in the beginning of this chapter 2, he says, I want you to know, he says to this church, that by the way, he never met. Knew about them, prayed for them, never met them in person. For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. We receive a lot of messages today and messaging that comes from all different places. During this election cycle, the amount of messaging that we received was off the charts. We always get bombarded, but I don't know that we have received more messaging than we had during this election cycle. And regardless of what ads appealed to you or in what way those ads came down, they were all designed to shape your thinking and to change your thinking to elicit your sympathy or your desire to vote for one candidate over another or for one, you know, set of, you know, laws or procedures over another, or for this thing or for that thing, or to change this and change that, and all designed to change the way you and I think. And for the Christian, we have to realize that all of those different things that come down the pike are the philosophies of men. It's not the Word of God. Even the things that may appeal to us in a sense of what we say is righteousness or goodness, it's still coming down to us as it is packaged by man to sway us in a certain way, and it is not the Word of God. Whatever Paul knew was going on in Colossae, knowing how he had to pray for them, this conflict he had in them, that he wanted to make sure that he not only kept them in prayer, but wrote this letter to them so that they would remember who they are in Christ and the work that they have been called to do, and to make sure that they would remember that they are new creations in Christ. But at the same time, you're a new creation in Christ. You're only that new creation because what Jesus did on the cross for you, not what any man did for you. Not what any movement did for you. Not what any religion or other philosophy did for you. Only Jesus Christ, God in himself, who came out of heaven because we marred his initial creation, his beautiful creation. We marred it because of our sin. He said, I still want to be with these people through eternity. And he came from heaven and he became flesh and he went to the cross and he paid our penalty and he died so that we can have eternal life with him. He says, I want you to remember that. Don't forget that. Don't forget who you are. And remember, regardless of what messaging comes down the pike, sometimes it comes from without, and unfortunately, sometimes it comes from within the ranks. Don't let that ever separate you. He wanted them to be knit together in love. Regardless of differences they had, differences of opinion. Do you know that there was at the same time, and I don't want to keep banging the drum about this election, but it's fresh on our minds, that you and I received messaging that told us that one candidate over the other, and you and I as Christians had to vote for one over the other because one was better and one was more Christian than the other. I actually received that letter. And I looked at it and I went, it's a bunch of crock. Who would even believe this? But yet there's some that would look at that and say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's those in the church today who are angry at the result of the election and are disillusioned because they have been hearing the philosophy and the messaging. And there's others who understand and say, yeah, we won, baby. Whoa. Because they've been influenced by the messaging. And then it becomes a division in the church. And the church forgets why the church has been left here not to win elections. But to point people to a Savior. Because that's all that matters. Candidates come and go. Political movements come and go. Forms of government come and go. But this world continues to spin and continues to spin in such a way that all those in this world are left to our own devices will continue to find ourselves on this steep slide into eternal hell. But Jesus says to us, no, 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 there's a better way. So as we received Christ, how did you receive Christ? Did you investigate all of the religions of the world? Did you investigate all the philosophies of the world? Did you sit down one day and say, I'm going to become a Christian because my mind is so sharp that my acumen is so wonderful that I have picked that this is the way that I want to follow to make myself into this new person? You didn't do that. And if you did, I'm going to tell you something. Then you're in a philosophy. You're not in Christ. You and I got saved because there is some point in our life that we recognize that we were in our hearts sinners separated from a holy God, and we heard the message of the gospel, and that message came not from man but from God. And God sent his people into the world to bring that message to the world. And that is the gospel by which you and I heard, by which you and I have been saved. We're not saved by ourselves. We're not saved through religion. You know that. We're saved by the power of God. And it's by grace we have been saved, through our faith in Jesus Christ. Not of any works, human works. And we have the full assurance that we are now knitted together with one another, but more importantly, we've received Christ. See, how did we receive him? We received him not in the sense of ourselves, but by him reaching down to us, by him finishing the work on the cross, by him saying, it is done, it is finished. See, we, by nature, as people, we are not unto ourselves rivers or streams. We're just cisterns. We're wells. Not wells. We're just containers. And into that container, God has poured out his Spirit. When you were empty and you finally realized your emptiness, even though your world may have been full, but you realized that you were spiritually bankrupt, when you realized how poor in spirit you were, you knew you were empty, you knew you needed something, and you cried out, and Jesus came and filled that void. Filled it with his love. Filled it with his grace. Filled it with his power. Filled it with himself. So there was a realization of your emptiness, but there was a realization also that Jesus was real and that he loved you so much. And you said, Jesus, I need you. I want you. Come into my life. And he came right in. So it's a life of faith when Jesus becomes real to us. While we're without faith, Jesus is just a person, a thing, a religion. But when our faith comes alive, he becomes our God, the lover of our soul, our Savior. And we grasp for it. I want this, Jesus. I want not what you can offer me only. Yes, nobody wants to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, but Lord, I want you. Did you remember the time when you came to faith in Christ? Do you remember the fact that all of a sudden you realized that you have Jesus? It took me months before I realized I wasn't going to hell anymore. I'm not exaggerating that. I was so in love with Jesus and so amazed that I had this relationship with Jesus. I went to church one time months after I was saved, and I heard some kind of message, and I remember thinking to myself, oh, I'm not going to hell. That wasn't even the farthest thing from my mind at that point. I just knew I had Jesus, and everything that I knew I was missing in my life, I now had. Do you remember when he became real to you? When he became alive to you? When he came in to the emptiness of your life? Yeah, salvation is the blind receiving sight or the deaf receiving hearing, you know, the dead receiving life. But more than that, it's receiving Jesus Christ himself. Yeah, he'll give us life from the dead. He will pay and he pardons our sins. He gives us righteousness. He gives us all those things. But it's him that we receive. He's poured into us. So now what are we supposed to do, church? Just sit idly around saying, now we have Jesus, I'm this new creation. I'm just going to wait till I get transported home, until boop, boop comes and I go home. No, walk in him. Walk. As you have received him, walk in him. We received him by faith, received his grace through faith. Now let's walk the life of faith. Let's walk in the power of his grace. It's an action. When you receive him in your inner heart, you realize that he came to you when you received him by faith, and now we have to walk out our faith. We have to live out our faith. Yes, you should be praying at all times. Yes, you should be reading your Bible, but yes, you and I need to walk in this world as Christ. We are his body. People need to see the transformation in you. They need to see the new creation that you are. If people wonder, and we wonder, about the new heavens and the new earth, it should be more of a marvelous thing than when people behold the new creations you and I have become. That's how we should be living. That they look at us and they say, where did Joe go? Who is this new creation? Who is it? Where'd he come from? It's different. Wait, it's more than different. It's new. You still look the same, but they see everything about you is new. It's progress. We have to continue to walk. Just as the new heaven and the new earth will continually be new, we have to continue in our progress of becoming more like Jesus and continue to walk in him, because Paul said you need to be rooted in him. Now, rooted and walking don't sound like they go together, but what Paul is saying there is we need to be so rooted in Jesus that our walk every day never detaches us from the vine. In him we have our move, we have our being, and we move and we live in the power of God. And we don't have to be afraid that as we walk, we're going to detach from him and then have to go in our own strength. No, we're rooted and we're grounded in him. And as we walk in this life, it is the power of God that lets us walk it in the newness of which we are. It's continual. You don't think, well, I just have Jesus in the morning when I do my devotional. I have Jesus at night when I kneel beside my bed and pray. No, you have him in the morning, you have him in the night, you have him while you're sleeping, you have him while you go to work, you have him while you go shopping, you have him here, here, and everywhere. And we need to show that continually. It should be our habit. Charles Spurgeon, I believe, said it this way. He said, now if we sometimes enjoy Christ, then forget him. Sometimes call ours, him ours, and then lose our hold. That is not our habit. We do not walk with him. Church, for us and I to let the world see the new creations that we are, we need to be in Christ every day. We need to be walking in his power every day. We need to cling to him. We need to live as if our every moment depends upon him, because it does. So as you and I have received Christ, let's walk in him. Persevere in the same way that we have begun. Trust by faith that he who began this work in you will complete it till the day of redemption. You don't have to struggle to do it on your own. How often do you pray, Lord, forgive me for my problems and things that I've done, but Lord, today I not only ask for forgiveness, but I ask for the power, your power, the power that you said resides within me, your Holy Spirit, the power that I need to live this life today. Today. That the world may see, the world may know this new creation that you have made in me, so that I, in my life, as I walk, then some may follow, and they will follow as I follow you, so that one day we will all be in the new creation of the new heavens and earth together. That's what it's about. This church and all churches should be full. But church, I believe for a long time now, we've hidden the new creations that we are. We didn't put the candle on the lampstand to let all see it. We put a bushel over the light. We have lost our saltiness to the point where we're only good to be thrown into the streets and trampled on by men. Church, let us awaken. Let us remember who we are in Christ and who lives within us and what he has done to not only save us so that we can idly bide our time down here until he calls us home, but no, he saved us to make a difference in this world that others may see him in us. And hopefully they would respond to accept his offer of salvation so they too can end up in that place where, behold, all things have been made new. I don't know how this hits you today, but all I know is I have been reminded time and again by the Holy Spirit that it's now time to work. We work while the light is still in the world. We don't know how much time we're going to have left. It's not a time to rest on our laurels. It's not a time to blend in like everybody else. It's not the time to say, let's just go in and play church and have fun and go back out. It is a time for us to walk in him, that others may behold his glory and join us in our new home. Father, thank you today for your word. Lord, we long for our heavenly home. Thank you for not only creating it, you told us you're going to prepare a place for us. Thank you not only for that, but thank you that you made the way for us to come. Thank you that you have done in us what only you can do. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to receive you by faith. But Father, let us not rest on our laurels. Let us not just pine for our heavenly home. Let us remember that we are responsible to walk in you, to let others see the new creations that we have become, that they may wonder about it. They may behold it. They may not understand what to do with it. Like John, they may be amazed. But then they will ask us the questions for what happened, why we have this hope within us. And that as we continue to walk with them in this life, they will continue to mark us and ask more questions and want to know what that hope is within us. And we would continue to be able to not only tell them about you, but they would see you in us. And our hope and our desire is that our family, our friends, our children, our spouses, our co-workers would behold your love, would behold your grace, would see what they're missing. And they would yearn to have what we have, and they would cry out to you. And they too then would accept your forgiveness and be born into your family. And that together one day we will walk the streets of glory. We will go to that place where you have made all things new. Father, let that be our heart's desire. Forgive us for the times we have wasted. Forgive us, Lord. Help us now to walk as we have received you. In Jesus' name.